Hello and welcome to another installment of the MSARN podcast series called I'm Just an Ambulance Driver. Today, we discuss provider safety from the viewpoint of the provider. Recent research has identified wide variations in EMS workplace safety culture. There are numerous safety programs, gadgets, and recommendations from many different sources. Now, EMS agencies are adopting new ambulance designs, drive cams and black box technology, hydraulic stretchers, and many other resources for safety improvements. Now, we recently sat down with two EMS providers, a young EMT and a seasoned paramedic instructor. We wanted to gain their perspectives on recent trends in safety improvements. Now, our interviewees offered many comments on new technologies. One in particular was drive cams.
They are annoying as hell, but they are definitely necessary.
That was Bob Paramedic, an EMS instructor at one of the nation's leading EMS training centers and an active paramedic in the field.
Take a look at the aircraft industry. I mean, black boxes. I mean, someone told me once why they put a black box in. It doesn't help them from preventing the aircraft, that accident. Well, that's true. That accident's going to happen. But what they're doing is they're preventing from that accident happening again with a different aircraft. So, yeah, I think black boxes work amazing to help prevent accidents. They're great. The drive cams, you know, it allows us to identify bad habits prior to them becoming a significant problem. Because what I'm doing, I'm preventing that from becoming, you know, not just a, oh, I bumped the curb, to, oh, I ran over a pedestrian because I wasn't paying attention.
Our junior EMT provides a slightly different perspective.
I think if you had a culture, a proper culture of safety, though, it shouldn't be something you need. In some cases, you have to rely on enforcement, but I don't think we should have to be enforced to be safe. Culture of safety is something that should be ingrained. It's not something we shouldn't be safe because we're fearing reprimand if we act in an unsafe manner. We should be safe for us. Make sure we go home at the end of the shift. It shouldn't be our employers. It shouldn't ultimately be our employer's responsibility. Our employer is obviously mandated to do certain things to keep us safe. But at the end of the day, I'm going home because of how I approached my safety, not because of measures my employer puts in place.
The role of education. Our EMS instructor interviewee provides his perspectives on the critical yet potentially underemphasized role of EMS education in safety.
We're not bad at airway management. We're bad at airway education. You know, we don't take the educational knowledge or the educational time to create the knowledge and retain the knowledge necessary to be successful. So, you know, when it comes to creating a safe environment for patients and providers, you know, I think the fatigue does play a role, but I think education does play a role as well. I think there's two sides to that coin, and the emphasis needs to be put on both. I've said it for years that just saying the scene is safe is not acceptable enough. Well, what makes it safe? Yeah, we're standing in a lab room waiting for this scenario to happen. Well, why is it safe to come in here right now? Why did you know it was safe to go in the elevator? You know, why did you know it was safe to come into this room right now? How did you know that we didn't have a disgruntled student? How did you know that the building wasn't on fire? You know, did you make the right decision to come in here? Just in general, not as a scenario, not as an EMS provider. But, you know, are you thinking about these things as you're walking? I mean, I think that we have a lot of complacency just in life in general. People walk around. I go out into Oakland, watch people cross the street. You know, there's huge signs that say, look left for buses. How many people a year get hit by a bus on Fifth Avenue? Because we're complacent. We know it's a one-way street. But the big signs in front of you say you need to look left for buses. So there's a danger there you need to be aware of, and people just don't do it. I think EMS is just as guilty. We are just as guilty as the populations we provide service to. I am the first one to say stupidity keeps EMS in business. The unfortunate thing is stupidity will also take EMS providers out of the business. You know, just saying a scene safe isn't good enough. When I go on scene, I'm very hesitant unless the police officer has cleared the scene first. Regardless, it could be chest pain at, you know, a wealthy, well-to-do housing plan. And I still have some hesitation because I know that a lot of the people in our areas hunt. So there are weapons on scene. I know that there is a large number of mental health patients that are out in the community, have outpatient services. Well, are they on their meds? Do I know who these people are? No. Could they be around the next room, you know, having a psychotic breakthrough? Absolutely. Scenes where there's violence involved, You know, I am on heightened alert, and it's one of the times where if I'm not confident, my first move is to get out of wherever the situation is and get to the ambulance, hopefully with the patient, but without the patient, I don't care.
Taking safety into your own hands. Here are some surprising and pragmatic steps taken by our interviewees to be safe in the field. First, our junior EMT.
EMS in a lot of ways is taken for granted. Being a paramedic may not be as dangerous as being a firefighter or a cop, profession where you have a potential to be at risk. But I think the more we hear that and the more we slip into that belief that our job isn't as dangerous causes great potential for bad things to happen across the whole industry. I think complacent is a good word for it. I bought a level 2 bulletproof vest just because no matter how much you, how safe you think you are, you can miss things. And the vest is one more piece of insurance that you come home at the end of your shift. That said, wearing a bulletproof vest is like wearing turnout gear in a fire. Putting your fire gear on doesn't make you fireproof, doesn't diminish the hazard that you face. It increases your ability to tolerate the hazard, increases your chances to survive if something goes wrong. Same sort of concept with the vest. The hazard that someone may want to do harm to you with a weapon, be it a knife or a gun, is still there. And it's still there at a consistent level, whether or not you're wearing a vest. Putting on a vest and thinking you're going to be okay is a mistake.
Here are some pragmatic yet often overlooked actions by our EMS instructor.
You know, I'm guilty of, as a student with a partner of mine, missing on assessment a knife in the patient's waistband. Because he fell. Fell out. The scenario was patient fell outside. So my partner for the scenario and I got the patient literally outside, put him on a stretcher, took him down to the garage. We're doing our assessment. The position we're in, I split the assessment up, but neither one of us thought, one, we should never split an assessment up between two people. You always do your own assessment. And two, we never thought that this person could be a danger until we got to the reporting scenario where we actually went to a room and reported, and the instructor pulled out a knife and placed it on the table, and pulled out a baggie of something else and placed it on the table, pulled out a syringe and put it on the table. We screwed up because we were complacent. We did not realize. I think that there are simulators out there that I think are awesome. I think that they take roadmaps to create, you know, a driving environment and allow you to drive your rig and allow you to, you know, test your drivers in a controlled situation and give them scenarios where more than likely they are going to be in an accident. Other professions have people who review them on a regular basis. Other people have people who stand there. Other professions have people who stand there and watch what you do and tell you, you did this wrong. You know, you need to fix this. I mean, they have people who stand there and just go through check boxes and make sure you're doing what you're doing. We don't have that in EMS on a regular basis. We do that for testing, for sure. But once you leave testing, it doesn't happen. Other professions are doing that, and it's a part of their safety to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And EMS needs to accept that as the times that we live in. It's not just for protection of our patients, but it's our own protection as well.
Variations in EMS workplace safety culture may mean wide variations in approaches to being safe. Our interviewees described some unique and simple steps that they take to be safe. We also heard about some aspects of EMS education that may benefit from a new, yet evidence-driven, emphasis on patient and provider safety. Stay tuned to MSARN for more podcasts on safety and factors that threaten safety, quality, and performance in EMS. For more information about MSARN and our studies on EMS safety culture, check out www.emssafetyculture.org or www.msarn.org.
For MSARN, my name is Charlie Warner, and I'm just an ambulance driver. Thank you. Good day.